Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
This message is called Same Seed, Different Soil. Same seed, different soil. Jesus gives us a parable called the parable of the... Someone got it wrong. They said parable of the seeds. Has anyone got a Bible where it says parable of the seeds? So this guy's obviously reading out of a different Bible. Yeah. So the parable's called the parable of the... Sower is what it's called in most of our Bibles. And simply it goes like this. Jesus says there was a farmer, a sower, and he had seeds, and he begins to spread his seeds and he's trying to sow them. And as he is sowing his seed, some of the seed, the Bible says, lands on the path. And then as he keeps sowing some seed, then he says, and the birds of the air come and they snatch the seeds that were sown on the path, and no more seed. Then he keeps sowing some seed, and some of the seed lands on some soil, but underneath the soil there is rock. And he says, and the seed matures and it becomes a plant or a wheat. It becomes wheat. And as it grows up, the sun comes out and it withers away quickly because it doesn't have very deep roots. And then he says, and then the sower keeps sowing, and then, and some of the seed lands on some soil that's fertile and it begins to grow. But it says that the weeds begin to grow up and choke out the wheat. And then he says, in the fourth soil, he throws the seed out and it lands and it multiplies and it grows and it produces a harvest. And it's a beautiful parable and it can mean so many things. Obviously, there's the surface and face value of this parable. But tonight, I'd like to take us just a little bit deeper. Actually, I think I'm just really delving into what Jesus is actually saying a whole lot more. And that is simply this. Jesus then goes on to tell us what that seed is. And that seed, according to Jesus, is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. What is it? It's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus. So can Jesus represent the seed then? Can Jesus... Jesus tells us the seed is the Word and Jesus is the Word. So really in this story, Jesus is the seed that goes into this soil. And I want to tell you tonight, just as this parable tells us, that some of that seed, when it landed on the path, actually produced nothing. And on the other soil, it produced something, but it died. In the third soil, it produced something, but it became unfruitful. And in the fourth soil, it began to produce a harvest. Same seed, four different soils, four different outcomes. This is what I want to talk to you guys about. Guys, Jesus is the seed, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what Jesus does in your life, or your life, or your life, or my life, is not dependent on Him. It's dependent upon the soil and how it responds to Him. The seed was exactly the same. It's not like the seed that fell on the path wasn't really powerful. It's not like the seed that fell on the rocky soil didn't really have an immutable and powerful, omnipotent power. It did. Everything that the fourth soil experienced, the first soil could have experienced, but it was the way in which it responded. Same seed, different soil. Same Jesus, different response. And as a pastor, it's just so obvious to me. We see people put their hand up every week and respond to the gospel. We see people do this every week in our church. Isn't that amazing that in this church, we get to see people giving their life to Christ? Yeah, come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. It's amazing. Every week, we see that happen. But it often shocks me That some people will do that, and some young man at this side here or there or wherever will put up his hand and ask Jesus to come into his life. We saw someone at the beginning of this church service. He's been walking with the Lord for a year and a half, and he led the prayer meeting tonight like as if he was a Christian for 63 years. It was anointed. It was powerful. His heart was full of God. He was getting revelation from the Word. He spoke with authority. The 100-odd people in the prayer meeting were completely moved. Yet I've seen people in the same service that he got saved in who have been around for a year and a half. Don't even know whether God really exists. And I'm not sure if the Word of God is real and struggling with relationships. Hang on, that can confuse me. Jesus, why are you so powerful in that man's life, but you're not so powerful in this person's life? Does Jesus have favorites? Is Jesus powerful in that girl's life, but he refuses to be powerful in that girl's life? No, it's got nothing to do with Jesus. It's got to do with your heart response to who he is in your life. It's up to us how deep we go with this. And so the first part, Jesus tells us and he unpacks for us the parable of the sower. And in actual fact, what we should be calling it is not the parable of the sower, it's actually the parable of the soil. Because the sower doesn't change. The seed doesn't change. What actually changes, the variable in this story, is the soil. And we are the soil. And Jesus tells us this, Matthew 13, verses 18. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, and listen, and does not understand it. Everyone repeat that with me. And does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. What's Jesus saying? One response that you can have to Jesus is this. Man, I went to church the other day. Oh, it was so amazing. Don't really understand what's going on, but I just love the whole thing. Not good enough. Not good enough. What I mean by that is, hey, it's a good start, but you better not stop there. You better not just come to church and go, I don't really understand what we do here and why we do it and why we give and why we worship and why people give. I don't understand anything, but gee, it feels good. Not good enough. Jesus says, the seed that was sown will be snatched away from you. What does he mean by that? You won't be a Christian very long. And I want to encourage you tonight, change your mentality about the gospel. Make it your goal to know what it is that we do. Read your Bible. Learn about the gospel. Why do we need Jesus in our life? Jesus is telling us why some people succeed and why some don't. Do you know, when that sower threw the seed, he wasn't trying to get it onto the path. It just went there. But did you know why a path becomes a path? It wasn't always a path. It wasn't always a path. It used to be fertile land at some point in time. But one day someone decided to trample on that piece of ground, and then another person trampled on it, and then another person trampled on it, and it became the road regularly traveled. Let me tell you who this person is. The person who's open to every opinion, everything. You've heard it all and you accept it all. You know what? You're accepting every opinion that's going on out there in the world, no matter who that person is. You don't even know how they live. You don't even know what they're about, but you take on their opinions. You know what? You are opening yourself up, and what you're doing is you're actually hardening your heart and your mind. You're so confused. You don't know what's what anymore. And I want to challenge you tonight. Can we take Jesus deeper than that? Because if you will take Jesus deeper in your understanding, then the enemy cannot snatch away what God is trying to sow into your life. Come on, give him a huge round of applause. Why does this matter to me? Because of late, some of you may have heard this before. Maybe you're aware of this, but you know, there is a songwriter, and I'm going to leave him nameless because I'm not here to pick on him, because I love him dearly and he's a brother. But just recently, he's a famous songwriter, and he was a part of the Hillsong team, and a lot of these young people grew up singing that man's songs. But he's recently released a post saying, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. And he writes this big, long post about, you know, People are doing strange things and preachers aren't living it. He says, but no one talks about it. You know, science and Christianity are at odds, but no one talks about it. And he writes this big, long post. Friend, I don't know what church he's been going to. Actually, I think I do, but maybe he's left there a long, long time ago. I don't know. But in this church, we do talk about stuff like that because we want you to know that you know where things fit, how it works. Why is there suffering in the world? What do we do with hypocrites? Come on, we want to go deeper in our understanding. We don't just want to be people that come into this place. Is anyone getting something? Come on, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's let Jesus go deeper. Because remember, the seed is Jesus. He's saying some people don't even get me at head level. This is what we call the hard head. It's the hard soil, but really what Jesus is saying is this person doesn't quite get it. In Italian, they would say he's got a testa dura, I think. Is that right? Is that right? Got a hard head. Do you know, young people, let me encourage you. I've got a few more here, obviously, but you know, let me encourage you. Don't let your theology be the words that you read off the screen. You know, I love the songs that we sing in this church, but don't build your theology on some songs. Don't do that. Because I'll be honest with you, there are some songs that I completely don't agree with, but we actually sing them here. Now, when I say completely don't agree with, I believe, for example, that Jesus has not just covered our sin, I believe he's taken away our sin. I believe that our sins are not hiding under some rug somewhere. I believe that when Jesus died, he took away my sin now and forever. Amen. But how many songs do we read about where it says, thank you that you have covered me in your blood? Well, that's not actually doctrinally correct. But we're not going to get all upset about it and not sing the song. We're not going to be that church. But if you build your theology on that, then you're in danger. Come on, don't build your theology on just some songwriter as I speak, this young man who wrote those beautiful songs doesn't even have a faith in Jesus. Come on, let's build our faith on the Word of God, which is permanent and forever in Jesus' name. Come on. The second soil is this. It says the seed falling. This is verse 20. That we got it up there? The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word. Who's the word again? Yeah. So they're hearing from Jesus and at once they receive it with joy. But since they've got no root in them, they last only a short time because when trouble or persecution comes because of who? The word, they quickly fall away. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that there is a group of people who, you know, they've come into this space, they've gone to another church, they've gone to a conference, I don't know what it is, and you've heard the gospel and you're like, woohoo! My sins are gone, this is awesome, I love the worship, I love the lights, I love everything, this is amazing, this place, I love it. And that's great, fantastic. And all of a sudden you're starting to grow, and remember, the seed is Jesus, so Jesus is beginning to grow in your life. But the Bible says that there's a very shallow soil and then there's a rock shelf. And as the seed is trying to grow, it eventually hits rock. What's that mean? That's when Jesus is in your life and then he starts talking to you about some things that are got to go. It's got to go. And your heart says, no. No, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not going to live your word. I'm not going to forgive my sister, my brother. No, I'm not going to worship you. No, I'm not going to honor you with my body. No, I'm not going to pray. And he can't grow past the rock shelf. And tonight we're going to go deep. And I'm going to put it out there tonight. I'm going to beg you. Can you please get the jackhammer of God out and let's start breaking up the rock and let's be the sort of people that will do what he wants us to do. We will say what he wants us to say. We will go where he wants us to go. Come on, let's be the sort of people that don't let Jesus just live in a very shallow soil. Can we be the sort of people that will allow God, if God says something, it's done. Now, it may be difficult, it may be hard, but we're going to do what he wants us to do so that we don't become this person. See, when the word of God comes in, look, James chapter 1 verse 21 puts it very clearly. It says, so get rid, can we read this out together? Actually, do you mind? 1, 2, 3. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Awesome. And humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power, which is the word dunamos, to save your soul. That word power, dunamos, is where we get the word dynamite. And this is telling us, when you accept God's word into your heart, it goes into your heart, and just like dynamite, God wants to blow up the rock shelf in your heart. He wants to blow it up so that you start thinking differently, breathing differently, talking differently, acting differently. He wants to blow it up. Do you know, I did a bit of research on this stuff. I love researching this stuff, and I know you guys enjoy listening to it, don't you? Yes. But do you know when they blow up a rock face? Do you know how they do that in mining? I was doing a bit of research. How deep do they put dynamite into rock shelf? You will discover that they don't just put the dynamite just in the top 3 or 4 meters of that cliff edge. They drill down and drill down, and they put that dynamite deep, deep, deep into that rock face. And when it goes off, it creates an almighty explosion because it's gone deep. And tonight, God wants to put his word deep, deep, deep into you, so that when he says it's time to go, it blows anything up. Your old thinking, it's got to go. Hey, son, remember, it's all about the gesh. That's not Bible. Now, sweetheart, remember, treat him keen. I don't even know how to say it. It's so demonic, I don't even know how to say it. What is that? How does it go? Remember, sweetheart, treat him mean. Can we have some unity on how we're supposed to say this thing? Either way, how many of us know it's really evil? Because Jesus says, love people. And some of us are working off old software. And you haven't done an update since 1933. And God wants to blow up the rock shelf that's going on in your heart. Come on, we've got to get some new thinking. We've got to get some new strategies. God wants to bring some new ways of doing things. And I'm wondering, has he got the ability to break through the rock shelf? It also tells us that some people fall away because there's a little bit of trouble that comes along. Because you've only got such a shallow root system, you can't cope when someone starts to persecute you at work. You start to see it as, this can't be right, because they told me that church was supposed to be all fun and games. I'm not supposed to be getting into trouble for this stuff. Who told you that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Hey, listen, we're supposed to flip the thing. If you're not being persecuted, I don't think you're living for him. Yeah, we don't want to clap at that one. No, you should be clapping a lot right now. If people aren't persecuting you, then they're not fazed by you. No, the people are supposed to be freaking out. Whoa, calm down. Why? People are supposed to be persecuting us. Listen, not because we didn't pay back the $20 or because we stole their car park or because we were gossiping at work. No, we're not supposed to be persecuted for that. We're supposed to be persecuted because we're just like Jesus. And if you're being like Jesus, you are going to get into trouble. Some people will not want to deal with you. When that begins to happen, we are supposed to rejoice. But some people have never heard that. And so when a little bit of persecution comes, they think something's gone wrong. It hasn't gone wrong. This is the deeper life that God has for us. Are you with me? And then we get to the last soil. The third soil, which is the third of the bad soils, right? Okay, it's the last of the bad soils. And Luke 8:14 says this. It says, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by cares and riches and the pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. What does that mean? If the devil can't get you with the bad stuff, he'll get you with the good. Do you know what the enemy of the best is for your life? The good. And for a lot of us, we would find ourselves in this category. We get it. Our understanding and our mind is awesome. We've got it right. And we are willing to do anything God wants. But we've been walking with the Lord for a long time now, and things are good. and we think we've reached the peak. We think we've reached the limit, and God would say, no, no, you're only at the third soil. Like, life is good, but that's not what God planned for you. God designed the best. And we're supposed to be moving forward, and God's got more and more that he wants to bring into our world. But listen, let me tell you how the enemy works. He doesn't come with a pitchfork, friends. He comes with distractions. And we can easily find ourselves in the third soil. Actually, a lot of people I speak to, I can see are caught up in third soil mentality. They're just very, very busy. There's a story of a young man who back in the 1900s when they were using Morse code as a form of communication. And so he saw a job advertised in the paper, and so he actually went for the job. And as he turns up to the office, there's a sign there that says, please just take a seat and we will interview you one by one. And as he went to take his seat, he could hear that there was noises everywhere and there was the Morse code machine operating. And he was looking at the other people also going for the job. And one guy was reading the paper, the other two guys were having a conversation. And the sign was very clear that you will be called in when necessary. And as they're all sitting there, this young man hops up onto his feet and goes straight into the general manager's office. And they're like, did we miss something? And then he comes back outside and the manager says, well done, you've earned yourself the job. And everyone else started to complain. And they said, no one called us in. He said, yeah. He said, the whole time that you guys were sitting there, there was a Morse code message saying, if you come into my office right now, you've got the job. And only one person heard it. Everyone else was distracted. You know, right now, heaven is sending Morse code into your life. He is sending Morse code all the time. He's trying to direct you. He's trying to guide you. But you know what? Come on, can I really mess up your personal life now? Yeah. And so we wake up in the morning and the Holy Spirit wants to say something, but you can't reach for your phone quick enough to start reading what someone else has to say before you hear what God has to say about your life and where you're headed. And the first thing we reach for is, and then, God, you never speak to me. I don't get a chance. You literally opened your eyes and you reached for your phone. I'm trying to tell you what I've got for you for the day, but I can't compete with that little blue app that you've got. Yeah, I've messed you up too much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's sending the Morse code out. He's trying to communicate, but we are so distracted. And listen, we don't think anything's wrong as long as everything's good. And God says, I didn't call you to good, I called you to great. Come on. Yeah. It came out. I don't know about you, but I fall to this temptation all the time. I love my coffee so much that when we go into a different nation and they put us up at a hotel, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go looking for my morning coffee. And I want a great coffee shop, and I walk along and I'll see a coffee shop, but they don't have the right machine. Coffee drinkers, you know what I'm talking about, right? They got some rubbish going on there, right? And I'm like, but it's all right. Like, I can sort of smell a coffee going on in there. And they sell fish and chips too. And you're like, but see, I'm nervous because it might not be anything else. So this will do. And so you go in there and you order your rancid long black that you can hardly drink. And then you pay. And then what happens? You walk out of the coffee shop and you walk three streets down and boom, there it is, mate. The Lama Zocco machine. Not one person can speak English. It's all a bunch of Italians. And you're thinking, and I drank that thing over there when God had this great cafe for me, but I just accepted the good instead of the great. Single people. I know he's good, but God's got great for you. And I know she looks good, but God's got great. And you know what? We're going to make sure. You know, they say in every couple, someone was settling and someone was reaching. Did you know that? In every couple, someone settled and someone was punching way above their weight. Now, you know, if you look at Maddie and Carla, we all know who was settling. Carla was just settling. We don't know why. but we'll talk to her later, bro, because God had great for her, but she ended up. That's not true. Bro, we love you, mate. You're awesome. But we will talk to Carla. But it's too late now because you're married and you've got 15 kids. Okay. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 to 32. Watch this. Watch this. Terah took his son Abram. Do we all know who Abram is? He's a guy called Abraham later, right? And his son, grandson, sorry, Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together, watch this, together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah, this is verse 32, Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. One of the saddest verses you'll ever read. God called him to go to the Chaldeans, but he settled in this place and he didn't quite get there. And his name was Terah. And I'm going to encourage you tonight, don't be terrorized. Come on. Come on, give me a little bit of credit here. I'm working hard up here. I'm earning my income. Did you know who God had to call to actually get him to the land of Canaan? Abraham. Abraham was the guy that eventually took his family to the promised land. But Terah never got there. I wonder what would be said about you when you get to heaven. Are you going to settle in the land that God says, don't settle here? Or has God got more for you? I'm going to encourage you. God has got so much more and he wants us to pursue it. Are you hearing me? Do you know what else the third soil is in danger of? The mentality that goes like this. Well, God's called me to be faithful. No, he hasn't. God's called you to be fruitful. And there is a big difference between being faithful and fruitful. Actually, Jesus called people faithful when they were being fruitful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Why did he say that to those two people and not the third guy? Because those two people were being fruitful. And we have elevated faithfulness into an idol. God hasn't called you to be faithful at the cost of being fruitful. There are people in churches where the pastor's got no vision, the church is going nowhere, and I'm not even criticizing. Come on, we know that this is true. But people will still turn up, oh, I've got to be faithful, even though they are not growing, no one is getting saved, and God actually called them out a long, long time ago, but they're being faithful. And God would say, not at the cost of your fruitfulness. Come on, we've got to be fruitful. That's what God has called us to do. We're supposed to be fruitful. And we've elevated it to an ungodly place. Come on. Some of us are really distracted and God has broken through our mind and our mentality. There's no doubt about it. And so then we've moved on to the second soil and we've jackhammered that rock ledge out. It's gone. And now we've ended up in this great space and God says, yeah, but you're stuck because you look like you're the real deal, but there's no fruit. And I'm here to help you. Because when you get into eternity, you don't get judged on how nice your leaves were. You get rewarded on your fruit. Some of you need to write this down. You don't get rewarded on your intentions, you get rewarded on your actions. Are you hearing this? And for a lot of us, we're in this good place and God would say, that's not where I want you to live. I want you to live in a great place. And this is what God has for us. And we're distracted. How many of you have heard this? Yes, all things are possible in Christ. How many of us have heard that? It's the absolute truth. Yes, all things are possible, but not everything is possible. I'm going to say that again. All things are possible, but you're not going to do everything in life. And that's the problem with some of us. We're just doing way too much. We're actually doing stuff that God has not called us to do. And Helen and I, we do some gardening. And when we used to have roses, we don't have them anymore because they're just a nightmare to look after. But when we used to have roses, sometimes you would see that one rose is not really growing like the others. And then you'll quickly discover there would be a branch or it's called a sucker. A sucker would come out from the roots. And what it is, it's this branch that grows out that bears no fruit. It's really ugly. And all it does is it takes away all the power and energy from the actual rose bush. And if you don't cut it off, that rose bush will never become what it's supposed to be. Do you know what God would say to some of you tonight? You've got way too much going on, and the stuff that God has actually called you to do, if you're going to get there, there's some stuff that has to be cut out around your life so that you can start to concentrate on the things that God actually does have for you. John 15, verses 1 to 2. Come on. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Listen to what he does. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You know, the Holy Spirit tonight wants to highlight to you there are some things that are going to go. Actually, let me encourage some of you, God's already done it. It's already been cut out. And you're grieving, and God is saying, what are you grieving about? I'm trying to make you great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. And this makes sense now to a whole lot of people that would say, is that what's going on? Is that why some of my friendships have parted ways? Yeah, because I'm not being mean to them, but for you, some of those people were suckers. And they were zapping all your energy. When they used to ring you up, you used to feel like a pit in your stomach would develop because they were so negative. And now that they've said, you know, I don't want to hang out with you anymore, that's God's way of saying, great, now I can cut that person out of you. And we're grieving over that. And God is saying, don't grieve. I'm trying to take you forward so that your life will be great and fruitful and so that you will move forward. So here's the question I have for every single one of us. Which level are you at? Because I'm going to welcome the worship team and we're going to spend some time in worship. Because remember, don't think the seed is some little wheat. Jesus is not talking to us about wheat. He's talking to us about him in your life. What level is he at in your life? Can I suggest to you that, of course, it starts that you hear something and you've got to understand it. And then it's supposed to get into your heart. God, I'll do whatever. And then it's supposed to rise up. And as things come to choke you out, you make a decision. I'm not going to be distracted. Where are you at? Where is Jesus in your life? You know, when I first came into a church like this, I was level one. I didn't understand that Jesus died on a cross. And I didn't get it. So I put my hand up. And God came into my life. It was awesome. But it didn't take long before he started to talk to me about being really kind to my family. I am shocked sometimes at how we can have people in this church that are so kind to me, but with their own family, they're not the same person. And come on, the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you right now saying, come on, I'm trying to break through that rock. Why are you treating your family so badly, but you treat these people so low? Oh, because that's because they're nice to me. Yeah, I know, but we're supposed to be loving our enemies even. Yeah. And so I remember the day that he began to speak to me about different issues. And it was hard. But I said, Lord, whatever you want. And I could, it was almost, you could hear that my heart just melted. And the rock broke. Do you know, there are some people that have been hurt. You've been hurt in past relationships. And the current relationship you've got is awesome. But it's only going to go that deep because it's going to hit the rock of you can't forgive your last partner. So you're going to guard yourself. You're not going to let them go deep because they may hurt me again. That's going to be the very thing that drives them away from you. But tonight you can say, I forgive all that. And I want to bust this rock up so that I can have a very deep relationship with my friends and my family and this partner and my children. And then for some of us, we're like, no, it's all good. And God is so good to you. He has given you a business. You're in your career now. He has blessed you so much. But yet you're unfruitful for him because you're distracted. And for some of us, you just need to come back to what God's called you to do. Of course, we need to run our businesses and we've got to do all that. But would you change anything if you knew that your last few days were coming up? Would you change anything? If you would, you probably should change them right now. if you would change anything, if you wouldn't reach for your phone if you knew that I'm out of here in a week's time, if you would actually open up your Bible, why wouldn't you be doing that today? Is that okay? I know this is not one of those comedian messages, but I want to help you tonight. I want Jesus to be big and strong in your life. I want him to be a fully developed Jesus in your life that can actually dwell in your heart, and he can actually lead you and guide you and take you to wherever you need to go.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.